Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers who want to make astrology accessible to you. We want to share our fascination with how astrology unfolds in a daily way in our lives, how it is a language that connects symbolically what we see in the metaphysical realm, what we see in the emotional realm, what we see in the political and the practical realm. I'm Heather Rowan Robbins, and I'm speaking to you tonight from St. Paul, Minnesota. And my two New York compatriots, Anne Ortley and Mark Woltz, are both away at the moment. They are off on holiday, and that's lovely. And I hope we're all getting ready to have a wonderful holiday or as good as we can. I'm going to go over the aspects with you in a minute and help you navigate through the next couple of days. I'd like to share some of what we're doing together coming up soon. Every Tuesday, Anne and Mark meet through the Open Center nearby and do a free astrological talk. I think you have to buy $5 worth of food while you're there to cover the place costs, but it's a wonderful chance to get to talk astrology. And you can find the information on it on their websites available through our Blog Talk Radio site. In February, the three of us will be teaching a workshop in New York City. You can go to Anne Ortley's page, go to astroanne.com, and find out more about it. You can also come to my page, rowanrobbins.com, and go to events, and we'll help you get the information. It's astrology chart reading A to Z, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and we'll help you go through an intensive on putting the pieces together to begin to read charts, make astrology more accessible to you, be able to look at your own chart and the people that you work with, love, care for, and how you can access that information. So it should be interesting. We have three different approaches. When we bring to it, it'll be both didactic, it'll experiential, meditational, and we'll get you cooking. I also will be in Santa Fe, New Mexico, to speak with Ariel Gutman on Friday the 13th, spend Friday the 13th with astrologers, a talk, and also a workshop on the following day. The talk on Friday night will be an overview of the astrology of the year 2014, and the next day it'll be a small group, and we'll be taking personal charts in and making the aspects of the coming year, how they fit in your personal chart and in the charts of your clients if you're an astrologer. So I hope to see you at some of those. And tonight we're heading into what looks to be has the potential for being a beautiful holiday. And it's a social holiday with a bittersweet edge. The sun is in outgoing, sharing Sagittarius, and it's interesting that each sign has a holiday that we come to associate with it that really exemplifies the energy and spirit of that. Scorpio has Halloween. Virgo has Labor Day. And Sagittarius has both Thanksgiving and all the parties that flow from here. Now, Thanksgiving has some political difficult issues around it if you spend time around Native Americans. And I've lived close enough to them to know that it's not always a holiday we celebrate in that way. But I want to take it back to an even older holiday, older than the Pilgrims, where we will never really know what the story was, older to all the European traditions were to celebrate after the work was done. When the final harvest was in, you took the last sheaf of wheat that was harvested, and it could be turned into an image of the goddess Ceres to a horse. They did many different things with this last sheaf of wheat. But they then feasted and celebrated that they had enough food to make it through the following winter. This is also an unusual holiday. It's the first night of Hanukkah, and they're calling it Thanksgivica. And this won't happen again, that the first night of Hanukkah falls on Thanksgiving, for many thousands of years. Both are holidays of gratitude that we are alive, gratitude for survival. So let's remember that tomorrow, this harvest and holiday of gratitude, that we are here, that we are alive to celebrate. And know that that's far more important than any of the other little details of the busy holiday and things that might go right or might go wrong or what a crazy relative might say. Sagittarius is also the sign. It's most outspoken and most direct. So it's also the holiday where unusually frank relatives speak out clearly and tell you you've gained weight or they don't like your hair or, you know, they're being honest, but they may be tactless. It's where unusual information comes out. I know so many friends who came out to their parents over Thanksgiving dinner that it's a chance to be honest, but we can be honest in a less challenging way. But experiment with levels of honesty tomorrow. Now, Mercury is still conjunct Saturn in Scorpio, so it's not exactly an easy time to, you know, people won't be blabbing their innermost secrets. But being honest doesn't necessarily mean you have to expose everything. Now, Mercury has got a few more days until December 4th in Scorpio. It's been here an unusually long time. Started in September, went all the way through Scorpio, retrograde, and conjunct Saturn, which brought a rigorousness of thought, seriousness, get the work done mind, but also may have asked us to face our fears or our depressions. It then retrograded back all the way to the beginning of Scorpio again, conjunct Saturn a second time. And just last weekend, as Mercury is direct now, moving forward, conjunct Saturn for the third time. So there may be a body of work that you're bringing to conclusion, some decisions that are being made this week that were sitting on hold for so long. So we have this heaviness of that Mercury-Saturn, or seriousness. It doesn't necessarily have to be heavy. And this is being counterbalanced by a rather beautiful opposition between Jupiter and Venus. Now, oppositions are not usually easy, but Jupiter and Venus directly opposed each other. Right after sunset, you can see Venus set and in the west and Jupiter rise in the east because they're directly opposite each other, within a degree. Yesterday it was exact. And that opposition, you know, Jupiter's lots of, Venus's heart and love and desire to care and beauty and, you know, want, longing for more. Now, Venus is just 10 degrees away from Pluto, so it's a tight conjunction. And Venus, Pluto, for the last few weeks, it's not a tight conjunction, it's moving away from a tight conjunction, but it's still close enough so that we feel that Venus-Pluto conjunction, especially over the night and early tomorrow when the moon moves into a T-square. It squares Pluto, then it squares Jupiter, and then it will square Venus. And in that square, we'll find that tonight and tomorrow we may feel, remember the people that we have spent Thanksgiving with before who are not here with us. There may be a sadness or a bittersweetness as we think over and remember the changes that our Thanksgivings have gone through, all the faces that have been there. Take a minute with that. Don't push it away. Or my suggestion is, don't push it away. Don't hold on to it. Feel it and let it flow. And see if you can find a moment of gratitude that you had those wonderful Thanksgivings. And then let them go. So instead of comparing tomorrow to Thanksgivings in the past, you let it be an entirely new and entirely fresh holiday. The moon will be in Libra, which will bring out the desire for people to be friendly, to avoid conflict, to be positive one another. Venus and Mercury are sextile tonight, and Mercury trines Jupiter tomorrow, which will again help us talk and share and communicate. And we keep on going through Friday if you're going to be dealing with shopping. And I really suggest that you don't. I'm not for Black Friday shopping. But if you have to, do it early because the moon heads into Scorpio and people get serious and they get edgy. There's some really interesting aspects over the weekend as the sun trines Uranus and we're looking for change and excitement and interest. And then a sort of a thoughtful, but the moon will in Scorpio with that trine, you know, it's about change. We may be tired of being friendly and sweet with our relatives and get a little edgy with one another or want to go off and, you know, see our difficult friends or do something, you know, much more sharp-edged and less cozy and friendly. So be careful where you put that energy over the weekend and consider staying away from the stores. So I'm going to open up the lines for conversation. We have a couple of callers on the line. If you'd like to call in, and call in 347-215-8881. And hello, 631, you're on the line. How can I help you?
Hi, Heather. It's Debbie. Happy Thanksgiving.
Hi, Debbie. Happy Thanksgiving.
I'm actually calling in about my son.
Okay. Give me your birth information.
Okay. It's September 6, 1988. And I have two times on him, 5:35 a.m. or 5:25 a.m. I don't know how I came up with those two times.
Okay. Five. And where?
Bayshore, New York.
Okay. And what's your question?
Just if there's anything in his chart that you see that, you know, he should be aware of. That, you know what I'm saying? Anything that, you know, that you see that...
How old is he now?
He's 25.
Okay. So I'm only going to say so much about it because if he called in, I would need his permission to go into more detail. But he does have Uranus coming to conjunct his Mars in the 8th house. And he has Uranus directly opposed his Mercury right now. So he's changing his mind. There's a lot up for him. He may be acting a little erratic or pushing you away. And with his Moon-Venus conjunction in Cancer in his 11th house, the symbol of mother and love and coziness and friendliness, you know, you've been a real friend to him. And he will consider you a friend in the future. But right now he's in a highly individuating, got to try things, got to experiment, got to not play it safe for a while. You may not, it's easy to blame it on other people around him, some of the decisions he may be in the midst of, but it's really more they are a symptom of his desire to explore than it is about he's really coming into his own. His progressed sun is conjunct Mercury in the 12th, so he's got some really juicy ideas coming up. Not all of them are practical. But he has to do, you know, normally he does kind of but part of his chart would like to play it safe. He's Virgo with the moon in Cancer, Virgo rising, would like to play it safe. Mars in Aries would not. Mars in Aries wants to take a risk. So he can go safe, 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 and then bolt out and jump, you know, jump over the jump without looking where he's going. And then go, whoops, that didn't work, go back to being safe. And we want him to take healthy risks. We want him to put those two sides together and say, how can I safely take a risk? How can I, you know, how can I help them move it in that direction? Does that make sense?
Do you see anything with depression in his chart? He knows I'm calling. It's just that he doesn't understand the astrology type talk.
Right.
So he's going to be listening.
And yes, with Uranus opposed, there are three different types of depression that we find. Pluto, which, you know, wants to look at death right down the hall. Saturn, which feels stuck and because it's growing up and things are just hard. And then there's Uranian depression, which is, I want different, and I want different so badly I'll take dead. And he's going under the Uranus, under the Mars, right? I want different. So we want him to say, hey, you can always die later. What else can you try first? What
right.
is a healthy experiment? And to look at his anger, which tends to, he can stuff it because he doesn't like it when it comes up. But it would be wonderful for him to be able to get, you know, to do some martial arts or to get his physical anger out.
Yes.
So that he doesn't have a backlog to deal with. And it's really kind of stored in his body. And in when he suppressed his anger, he also suppressed his energy. And it kind of implodes on him. But
right.
he's really at a place where he can be able to shift that this year. It's come up several times. He's got Pluto squaring his Mars. You know, really saying there is a possibility that I can have what I want.
Mm-hmm.
If I open up and really look at what I want, not wanting somebody else to do what I want them to do, but what do I want to do?
Mm-hmm.
How can I really experiment and find possibilities and take
healthy
risks?
Anything positive coming up in his chart?
That's very positive. Those are intense aspects, but they're very positive. They have the potential for really powerful, good change. Your Saturn is coming to form a trine over the next, you know, 9 months to his moon and his sun, which will give him a little bit more stability to work with. It's a little, you know, off the charts. He's got the clutches in. He's got to deal with what's going on with him. It can feel pretty explosive to him, but it's also, it's very exciting. It can be very positive change. It's really a time to experiment and to try, you know, new approaches that he hasn't tried before and to believe it's possible. If we can just get him to kind of consider the possibility that that this feeling of change could bring something wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And now we can go experiment with what that is.
You don't see anything with the drug. You know his story, right?
I don't know his story. And I'm going to have to go pretty soon. He's got his Mercury-Neptune square, and it's sitting right on there. And I think that if he's having trouble with drugs, that is exactly the desire to go exploring without leaving home, being afraid of taking physical risks. And so he's trying to stay safe at home while go exploring. And we want to say, how do you go exploring in this body, in this earth, on this path?
Okay.
And I think he's getting really ready to make some changes with that, to use his phenomenal imagination in a good way.
Okay, so you see this more as a positive time for him.
Yes, potentially positive. As potentially positive.
Okay,
it's
thank you.
Risky, but with that, I see potentially positive. Okay?
Okay.
Good luck.
I appreciate it. Thank you, and have a happy hour.
Okay, good luck, hon.
Okay, thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Hello. 613, you're on the line. How can I help you?
Hi, Heather. It's Aeolia calling from Rochester. 214-51, that's 5-1.
Mm-hmm.
Chicago,
time?
9:06 a.m.
And 9:06 a.m. And what can we do for you today?
Well, I'm looking at a couple of things and interested in your perspective on them. Jupiter's, you know, I've got that stellium over in Pisces in the 12th house, and Jupiter's...
You have Jupiter, Venus, and Mars, and North Node all lined up in the 12th, natally.
Yep.
Yep.
And Jupiter's trining it from Cancer currently, and Saturn's moving into a trine to Venus, and I wonder if you could talk to me about that.
Okay, there's some really wonderful aspects to going on with that. Your progressed moon is also at 12 degrees of Virgo right now. And the, and for our audience, progressions are a pattern that we look at in the chart where the that suggests that in the first few months of our life, the what we go through, the daily aspects that we go through, set up a pattern that we unfold with a lot of choice about how, but we unfold that pattern roughly the rate of 1 day to 1 year. So, you know, if you had a stomach ache 30 days after you were born on your 30th year, you may have trouble digesting life. So there's a symbolic relationship. So your progressed moon went into Virgo about 12 months ago, and it's asking you to kind of, it's about to enter your sixth house, asking you to kind of reevaluating your work, asking you to get pretty grounded and to take care of your health. And not necessarily take care of your health because you're sick, but take care of your health because it's one of the ways of honoring yourself. It's like paying attention to your health in a good way, not your illness, but your health.
Mm-hmm.
And so that progressed moon heading into your sixth house for about 2 years, asking you to look at all of those habits. And that'll help you with that lineup in Pisces in the 12th. Jupiter is in your fourth house, bringing some sense of freedom and movement in the home situation. And it's saying you can open up. But you had that with that 12th house, with many planets in the 12th house, which is where the planets are in those first few hours, where the sun would be in the right after sunrise. It's that, you know, just above the eastern horizon quadrant. That you know, it's a beautiful, loving, lovely Jupiter, Venus, very romantic, but it's very internal. It must have been hard for you to get that out where other people can see it. So you kind of had a big internal world. And the Jupiter's saying, how can you make that, bring that idealism and that romanticism out and integrate it with your practical self and your grounded self? Now, mm-hmm. Neptune is squaring your moon, and Jupiter's in the fourth house. So are you having any questions about where you live or your relationship to your mother or as a mother?
Oh, yes, absolutely. In fact, my daughter lives on the West Coast, and there's been, you know, she has no intentions of coming back towards home and often says to mm-hmm. me, you know, I'd like it if you lived closer. So, and I lived out west before and I missed the mountains. And so that's mm-hmm. been an unanswered question for
the question is, are you moving there?
Yeah,
right.
That's part of the question for sure. Yeah.
That's what it looks like to me, is that you're really wondering, and I wouldn't hurry up on that question or jump to conclusions, but it's saying, because it's going to be another 6 months before it looks like it's clear.
Right.
I'm looking at your astrocartography chart. You have so many more lines on the west half of the country than you do on the east coast.
Well,
and if we can get you
San Francisco, and I think
exactly
a lot on the west,
and you've got 200 miles on either side of that. It goes through Spokane right to San Francisco. So you've got 200 miles on either side of that, which cuts most of the west coast.
Yeah,
and it moves.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I was saying that if we can get you west of Denver, then you are all your planets go move into the first house.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to share. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
and if you can get you west of Denver, all your planets move into the first house. It really is pretty amazing how much that improves your health and your enthusiasm. I also have a stellium in the 12th, back east, and it moves into my first house, you know, west of here, you know, from here west. So, and I'm in Minnesota, and it makes a huge
mm-hmm.
difference for me to base out of the west rather than on the east coast. So I really suggest that you consider that in your chart.
Yeah, that means a lot to hear you say that from your own perspective of your own
mm-hmm.
stellium. And it's just been a long time since I've lived out there, and at this age it's
mm-hmm.
really hard to, you know, face the upheaval, but I'm going out in December, and I've arranged for
mm-hmm.
a retreat while I'm there and been
mm-hmm.
creative about how to, you know, barter.
Your chart looks like it really likes living in if not collective situations, you know, co-op, something where you have shared, that you have your own private bailiwick and you have shared space.
Yeah.
So you might find that there is some place where you can do that. Aquarian, Sun in Aquarius in the 11th really likes community and communal situations, and that 12th house needs privacy. So look for a place that has a mix of those, some form of collective or co-op housing.
Absolutely.
And
yeah,
with privacy.
It's high on my list,
right.
And I have some experience with
because
it
you've got
privacy.
Jupiter in your fourth. You've got your progressed Venus conjunct your natal moon. Jupiter's fourth house is home for people.
Mm-hmm.
Your progressed Venus is on your natal moon, which also goes back to home. And the and Neptune is squaring your natal moon. So there's so much about, you know, this is a great time to ask those questions and get yourself situated where you want to get situated. If you're going to move anytime in the next couple of decades, this is the year to do it.
Well, and it's interesting what you said earlier about the progressed moon in Virgo going into the sixth house, and you know,
mm-hmm.
that's a lot of things, but it's about work. It echoes the theme of transiting Pluto on my midheaven,
mm-hmm.
too, in a way, doesn't
mm-hmm.
it?
Mm-hmm. It does. Now, I'm going to have to move on to another caller because we've got short on time tonight. Good luck. Keep us posted.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Take care. Sure.
Thank you.
Hello, 419, you're on the air. How can I help you? Try the next one. Hello, 574, you're on the line. How can I help you? Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hi, you're on the Hi.
So this is
Heather. You're on the air. How can I help you?
This will just be a quick question. My
Great.
Birth date is 8/28/62 and in New York, New York, and that's 8:42 p.m.
And how can I help you tonight?
Just a quick question. I would say over the last, like, 15, 20 years, I've always been very kind of successful in my career, and I'm always
mm-hmm.
in repeated situations where I'm offered promotions quite a bit. I don't say
mm-hmm.
that in a bragging way. It's just how it's been. And now I'm,
mm-hmm.
I'm just, for a long time, I've been in a situation where I'm second to the top of an organization. And because
mm-hmm.
I'm a mom, I've wanted to hold back so I can spend time with my son, who's now 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Because of my current work
mm-hmm.
environment, how do I know when is the right time that I have to kind of grab the ring? And is that time coming sooner or later? I have a relatively weak boss. I just don't know. And I find
mm-hmm.
that he's a big, he appreciates my
and
work.
And you tend to run behind the scenes. Yeah.
Yes. I have a very loyal staff. I like a healthy work environment. You know, I love that part of my job, but I
okay.
You know,
I would say that it's probably not going to happen, and I think that you're really on as a mom just for another year. And in about 18, 19 months, your progressed moon moves out of Cancer and into Leo, and it'll be time for you to start shining.
Like
Uranus is in your first house, so there's a lot more about your leadership and that you can experiment with now without being visible. Neptune is moving over the next year or so to oppose your Venus,
mm-hmm.
And oppose your Sun, I'm sorry, and, you know, you've got such a brilliant chart. It's, I would say, you're still working well behind the scenes, and that means the weak person ahead of you means that you get to control a lot without, but he takes the heat, or he or she takes the heat. So you're actually in a pretty sweet spot for you at the moment. That's going to be changing.
Oh, and I enjoy it. Yeah,
I agree with
and
you.
I enjoy it. I totally understand what you're saying. Like, I just want to be the strongest leader I can be at the right time. Do you know? I take
right.
it seriously.
Continue experimenting. We're about to go off the air.
I'm so sorry.
So, So I'm going to say goodbye and call us again, please. This is
okay,
a really interesting
thank you.
Chart.
Okay,
take
thank
care.
You so much.
And
okay.
Everybody, have a wonderful Thanksgiving. We hope to see you in New York and on air next time soon. Have a great day tomorrow. Goodbye.